requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And happy Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thanks for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on 91.5 FM WMIE, today's Modern Worship. We are so thankful that we get to spend this half hour with you. Pray that you will find it a blessing in your life. Today we're going to be talking about not appeasing our issues, but actually seeing if we can't resolve them once and for all. I don't want to just be delivered from my enemies, but I would like also to be delivered from my idiosyncrasies, if we could put them that way. Sometimes I listen to this program and I hear things that maybe other people don't hear. And it's like, why would anybody listen to that? And so I really do strive to get better at this than what I have been. And pray that you will pray for me, that as we are going through these studies, that they will be refreshing. The Bible says, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. I am working on an issue in my life that I've realized is something that is a part of my personality, and I need God to give me victory over that area of my life, and that's a Sabbath rest. I need to treat that as a non-negotiable in my life, the same way that I do the other commands of God. And so I had a time frame. I have a day off that's scheduled every week. It's just sometimes it doesn't. There's emergencies that pastors deal with on a church-wide basis, and a lot of times they flare up at on that time. And so I'm having to look for alternatives at times. If there's something that gets taken away, I've got to find some other way for that, because I've discovered that my health is better when I give God that day of rest that I'm supposed to give him. My personality is better. My stress level is better. And so if the Holy Spirit's dealing with you about an issue in your life, I pray that you won't just try and appease it, but you will find a way to get ultimate victory over that. So yesterday we were talking about how God used a person who came from a very difficult socioeconomic background. He came from a position of doubt instead of a position of faith. He was stubborn in his doubt, and yet God still used him to bring deliverance to Israel. And then there were some people who didn't like the process, and he chose to appease them with that. Now, you know, I don't want to die on every mountain. I don't think every mountain is worth dying on. I think that there are some things that we can show mercy. But when it came to the children of Ephraim, we're going to see that there was a habitual attitude that kept plaguing them. And as a result, they kept rising up in opposition throughout the entire history of the nation of Israel. And then when the kingdoms split apart, it was the children of Ephraim that were leading the way there in that separation. Let's look at Judges chapter 10. Judges chapter 10. And we are going, let me just tell you, the book of Judges is about a cycle. The children of Israel are doing good. They forget God. They fall into oppression. They repent, and God delivers them. Those five stages. They do well. They forget about God. They are delivered to their enemies. They repent, and God delivers them over and over and over again. And so that's what we see, that cycle has repeated here. And in Judges chapter 10, verse number 10, we read this. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, saying, "We have sinned against you because we have forsaken our God and served the Baals." Now, God gives them a different answer this time than what he has given them in the past. Verse number 11 says this. So the Lord said to the children of Israel, "Did I not deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the people of Ammon and from the Philistines? Also the Sidonians and the Amalekites and the Maonites oppressed you, and you cried out to me, and I delivered you from their hand. Yet you have forsaken me and served other gods. Therefore, I will deliver you no more. Go and cry out to the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in your time of distress." In Judges chapter 8 and verse number 34, it says there that the children of Israel did not remember the Lord their God. We cannot afford to forget about God. We cannot afford to forsake God. Now, what kind of confidence would we have in God if we didn't have that verse that says, "I will never leave you, I will never forsake you"? Would you have a great deal of confidence in a relationship if there wasn't a commitment that said, "Look, we are in this thing together from the beginning until the end, and I'm not going to do anything that is going to cause you to feel like you've been abandoned"? The children of Israel not only forgot about God, they broke the covenant that they had with God. In fact, I would say that if you look throughout the Old Testament, you would find that God's covenant people were really, really good at not keeping up their end of the bargain. They continually broke the covenant. And so when you open your Bible, you're going to find that it is separated into two portions. Genesis through Malachi is known as the Old Testament or the Old Covenant. Matthew through Revelation is known as the New Testament or the New Covenant, where Jesus comes, and instead of there being a sacrifice year after year after year for forgiveness of sins because we keep repeating the same cycle over and over and over again, Jesus comes and offers himself as a perfect sacrifice that will not only deliver us from the sins we have committed, but will empower us to be able to walk in victory the way that God always intended us to do. Where Jesus comes and he has done all of the hard work. All of the hard work. All we've got to do is walk in obedience, and he's done all of the difficult stuff for us. I'm thankful I don't have to go die on a cross. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's Old Covenant. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that's the New Covenant. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the New Covenant. So he came to break that cycle of have you ever looked at a shampoo bottle? I assume that it still says this. It used to say this: wash, rinse, repeat. Wash, rinse, repeat. And so we don't have to live in that cycle. Now, if you're like me, sometimes you get to going through the motions and you don't remember, you know, I'm a morning shower type of guy. And so when I get into the shower, I am just barely this side of consciousness, and I get in there and it's like, okay, did I remember to shampoo my hair or not? And so sometimes I do the wash, rinse, repeat cycle simply because I forgot whether I did it the first time or not. You're probably better at that than I am. Jephthah is the deliverer that God is getting ready to use for the children of Israel here in chapter 10 and 11. But God says, look, you have forsaken me. Didn't I deliver you? Listen to the description. I want you to count these out with me. I delivered you from the Egyptians. I delivered you from the Amorites. I delivered you from the Ammonites. I delivered you from the Philistines, the Sidonians, the Amalekites, the Maonites. There were also the Moabites that were in there that aren't listed here. So 7 or 8 at least different times God had already proven to the children of Israel that he would deliver them. And he said, you cried out to me, and I delivered you from their hand, yet you have forsaken me, and you've served other gods. This was not just that they did some things that were displeasing. The book of Romans describes this pre-delivered life as servants of unrighteousness. We were slaves to unrighteousness. And these people would enter into this agreement, not where they just were complacent and lackadaisical about their relationship with God, but they actually treated these idols and these demonic deities with greater reverence than they did the God who had delivered them from the most powerful oppressors on the planet at that point in time. God said, you forsake and you served other gods, and we've done this 7 or 8 or more times now, and God says this, there's no more deliverance. Say, what about this God of grace? You know, there's a lot of people who want to talk about the love of God. There's a lot of people that want to talk about the grace of God and the mercy of God. And all of those things are true. But you also have to remember that the verses where God describes that he is the judge of the spirits of all mankind, that verse is also true. Where there's a time coming when he's not going to wink at sin, that's also true. The verse that says his wrath is as great as his mercy, that verse is also true. That the blessings for obedience are true, and the consequences of disobedience are true. You see in Samson's life that Samson continued to inch closer and closer and closer to the edge of his covenant with God until he finally broke the very last thread of covenant. He had already violated a number of covenants. There was only one that he hadn't, and that was he had not cut his hair the entire time. And it wasn't the fact that he had long hair. It was the fact that that was the covenant that he was walking in. And finally, when Delilah pressured him, he said, okay, I'm willing to break my last souvenir, if you will, of covenant with God just in order to make you happy. And he didn't realize that Delilah had positioned herself as his enemy, masquerading as the love of his life. She didn't love him. She loved the money she was going to get for betraying him. And it said that Samson, when he was told, the Philistines are upon you, it says he went out and shook himself, and he did not realize that the Lord had departed from him. We were having a conversation, and we were trying to remember a certain word, and instead of that word coming out, Ichabod came out, and Ichabod means the glory has departed. Ichabod was a name that was used when the ark was captured and Eli's daughter-in-law gave birth. And when she heard that the ark of Israel had been captured by the Philistines, she said, "The glory has departed." One of the Old Testament prophets was mortified as in the spirit he saw the Spirit of God depart from the temple. I don't know about you, but I pray that we recognize the treasure that we have in our relationship with God. So it says here, God says, I'm not going to deliver you anymore. He says, in fact, I'm going to give you a different command. You go and cry out to the gods which you have chosen. Everybody chooses to worship someone or something. Make sure that you choose wisely. Make sure that you choose Jesus. God says, let them deliver you in your time of distress. I will tell you that sooner or later, everybody is going to find a crisis moment in their life. And it is not so much about whether or not I get the answer that I'm looking for at that time. It's like, but it is about this: who is going to go with me all the way through this crisis? And I want to do life with Jesus. I want to do life Jesus' way. I want him to be at the center of it. He says, let them deliver you in your time of distress. And the children of Israel said, we have sinned. And those three words there are extremely powerful, where you recognize that the problem isn't with God, the problem is with us. So I told you that I've been dealing with this Sabbath rest thing, and the perspective that God has adjusted in my mindset is this: it's a non-negotiable. And so to violate that positions me for bad things to happen in my life. And so my mindset is, look, if that's sin, I don't want that in my life. I want to adjust my life so that I don't have those issues going forward. It says, we have sinned. Do whatever seems best to you, only deliver us this day, we pray. And so let me just take you through the wash, rinse, repeat cycle. God raises up Jephthah. Jephthah uses his ability to deliver as a way to negotiate authority for future authority. And you'd find that in the book of Judges, chapter 11, verse number 9. And verse number 32 of Judges, chapter 11 says, so Jephthah advanced towards the people of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hand. So now let me take you to Judges, chapter 12. Okay. Now, we don't always recognize that there are some internal issues that we need to be delivered from. So let me take you to chapter 12, verse number 1. This is after Jephthah has gained the victory, and he had already sent out a rallying cry to every tribe and said, look, this situation should not be sustained. We need deliverance. We need victory. And so the victory, the deliverance has come. Chapter 12, then the men of Ephraim gathered together, crossed over toward Zaphon, and said to Jephthah, why did you cross over to fight against the people of Ammon and did not call us to go with you? We will burn your house down on you with fire. So What we talked about on yesterday's program with Gideon is the Ephraimites come. Now Jephthah has arisen as a deliverer for Israel. And the same tribe that caused problems for Gideon are now trying to cause problems for Jephthah. And they said, because you have humiliated us by you rising up and taking and bringing deliverance to the people of Israel, we don't like the process you used. It excluded us. It makes us look bad. And so now we are going to set out to destroy you. Now, I have this philosophy, and that is if a person is threatening my destruction or the destruction of Christianity, I take them at their word. If there's a group of people that describe that they are going to take away or try and impose limitations on what we can do in the exhibition of our faith, the demonstration of our faith, the proclamation of our faith, I believe that they are hostile towards Christianity. And so I treat them as such. I take them at their word. I believe them, but I don't have to condone their actions. So Jephthah says, verse number 2, and Jephthah said to them, my people and I were in a great struggle with the people of Ammon. And when I called you, you did not deliver me out of their hands. So when I saw that you would not deliver me, I took my life in my own hands, crossed over against the people of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Why then have you come out up to me this day to fight against me? Now, there ends up being a brief civil war between the people of Ephraim and Jephthah's new authority. And the Ephraimites had this unique way of pronouncing their words. It was unique to them. And so when they would come to this point of crossing, they would deny that they were of the tribe of Ephraim, but their speech would betray them. And so they were identified. And then they said, you know what? I think we need to take care of this internal conflict once and for all. Jephthah said, I called and you didn't deliver me. So I took matters into my own hands and the Lord delivered us. Can we look at 2020 with a whole new perspective? I'm not talking about the people who are there for you and they are supporting you in prayer. I believe that the body of Christ should be the greatest network of compassion on the planet. And so we need to be there for one another. We need to help shoulder one another's burdens. When one person is infirmed, we need to be treating that as if we were all infirmed. When one person is mourning, we need to take that very seriously. When a person is rejoicing, we need to celebrate with them. We need to be there in a committed relationship, not just with God, but with other people as well. And that means that when one person is under attack, that everybody rallies to their defense. Now, if you've never been in this position where you said, you know what, I think God can take care of this, even if other people don't rally to our support, I have been. I've had people it wasn't the outcome that they had a problem with. It was the process. But let me say this. There have been times where my process could have used some refining. But there were also times when people had a problem with the process, and I was walking with the wisdom of counselors in my life, and not everybody liked that process, but, you know, oh well. It was a biblical process. It was a compassionate process. And you know, God brought victory in that situation. Maybe really what I want to say this morning is, if you've been sending out the rallying cry and no one has come to your defense yet, God is able to strengthen you. And God will be there to help you when human resources may not be as numerous as you would like. It may not be as prevalent as you'd like. The lack of human assistance does not hinder. Let me give you the words of Jonathan. God is able to save. God is able to deliver by many or by few. We're supposed to pray for laborers, that God would send forth laborers into the harvest field. I can tell you right now, there are 7+ billion people on the planet. There is not an overabundance of laborers. Every church is dealing with a shortage of people to help shoulder the load. And so I want to tell you, you can't always appease. Sometimes you have to deal with the root issue and say, you know what? The problem might not have been with Gideon. The problem might not have been with Jephthah, although they both did some foolish things. The problem might have lay with the people who weren't coming when the battle was on. They were only coming when the outcome was already a foregone conclusion. Can I tell you something? Don't be hesitant. When God says, I want to deliver you from this addiction, or I want to deliver you from this problem, and you say, well, I don't know how I'm ever going to get out, God is able to deliver you. And if there are people who say, well, he didn't deliver me, and I just love this stuff too much, don't let another person's attitude limit you from experiencing the breakthrough in your life that God wants you to experience. He wants all of us to experience it. But don't let someone else's stubbornness hinder you from your breakthrough and from your deliverance. God bless you. I pray that you have a wonderful, wonderful day, and that the Spirit of the living God uses you to speak victory into someone else's life, that they might be set free. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Enter in here.